Okay.
Everybody, please unmute your phone.
Okay, so you got the B team tonight, which is me. Even though Gary does this every month, doesn't mean I paid
attention. Yes, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. So I'm gonna fade my way through it. Can we have a roll call?
Commissioner Lopez?
Present.
Commissioner Geary?
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn? Excused. Commissioner Taggart?
Here.
Commissioner Christopher?
Here.
And Supervisor Parlier? He's not here.
Okay, approval of summary proceedings. Since we didn't have a quorum last month, we have May 21st, and April?
Yeah, April.
April 16th?
Yeah, so the summary proceeding.
Oh, for April, you're right, okay, for April. Does anyone have any input on that, or make a motion to?
Motion to approve.
Thank you.
I will second.
Thank you. All in favor, thank you. Aye.
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 All right. Okay. Was it just today, April, or did May?
We couldn't do it, we didn't have one, we couldn't do it.
Okay, do we have the?
So we have to do the 2 months, correct?
Do we have to do 2 months, the May, we just did April?
You didn't have a meeting in.
So we.
There's a meeting.
Other place right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're helping me, sorry.
It's, yeah. No, we skipped a month, yeah.
Okay, stay on there. Okay, these agenda items before the Animal Services Commission may be acted upon with a motion if no member of the commission or IS wishes to comment on the questions. Sorry, guys. Okay, there was an email received 6/19/2025 from Kathy Martinez advising that they have confined a stray dog at their residence. I believe you resolved that?
Yes.
Okay. Does anybody care to make any comments on that? I make a motion to receive and file.
I'll second.
First, you want to? Oh, okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. Speakers will be limited to 2 minutes. Well, it's gonna go to the first table, there's no one there. Second table. Yes, please.
I'd like to ask for clarification. Are we allowed to talk about something different than what you just brought up right now?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Just give me
sorry. We can hear better if you can study back here.
Right.
Hey, there's Danny.
Hi.
Oh.
Okay.
Second.
My name is Cynthia West. I've been a 50-year resident of Bakersfield, raised my family here, and I've never spoken in front of a court before.
You're getting crazy.
But I've seen a lot happen in the 50 years I've lived here, and what I've seen in the past 10, 15, 20 years has really upset me as a mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, and upset all my children and grown children who I've raised here, or serious, very dedicated animal lovers. I've raised many, many animals for many, many years. I love each one of them individually. I never want to see a hair on any of their heads. What I've seen is atrocious. But I wasn't really going to speak for myself because I'm going to say a speech at all. But somebody sent me a speech that they can't get through quick enough because they're from out of town.
You're a long speech?
No. Okay, sure. But I wanted to go ahead since I got brave enough to talk a little bit about myself. But my eyesight's bad because of this, but I'm going to try. Good evening, commissioners. My name is Terry Ruel, and I'm here today not just as an advocate for animal welfare, but a concerned citizen witnessing a crisis in Kern County that continues to be ignored. At your last meeting, I submitted an email detailing alarming issues of cruelty and neglect. That communication, representing not only my concerns, but the voices of many who care deeply about public safety and animal welfare, have been quietly removed from today's agenda in absence, the absence speaks volumes. What message we are sending when crimes against animals go uninvestigated and documented complaints vanish from public record, the failure is to act not only violates ethical responsibility, but corrodes community trust. There's still another paragraph.
Okay.
Okay. I'll just start another place. Every unscanned stray, every uninvestigated cruelty complaint, every ignored plea is a missed opportunity to serve the public good. By neglecting these cases, we undermine the very foundation of our civic duty. I call upon this commission today to reinstate public concern as a primary agenda item, to initiate formal investigations into longstanding cruelty allegations, and to implement the system changes necessary to restore confidence in our animal welfare institutions. This isn't just about pets. It's about the values we share as a community, the way we treat voiceless, the way we treat the voiceless reflects who we are. Thank you.
Okay, got the gist of all that. Do you know that person?
Yes, I do.
Are they willing to come and speak or at least give some facts on what they're saying?
All I know is, I thought another level of this meeting today was supposed to go over an email that was sent by this person.
When?
And it is actually on your website, unless somehow it was removed, but an email that was sent in June. It was supposed to be a critical complaint about ineffective investigations on animal abuse and neglect, and one of them that she stated was, of course, the case of Rusty Rose that was named by animal advocates in the animal shelter.
We're all aware of that one.
Okay.
And that
and she
that
also put down several others.
Okay, that one I know has been being investigated. Unfortunately, the sheriffs don't like to handle animal cases. But I do know the staff, the Kern County Animal Services, have delved into it. I don't know what the outcome is, but it wasn't ignored. That's as much
as I want to make an opinion. We'll just keep going the route that we're going.
Well,
to make sure that she is investigated. So I'm up in the coming at
make sure that, wait, that she is investigated.
That the death of.
Oh, the dog.
The dog is investigated.
I don't.
My emotions will just get.
Okay. So I don't have the June agenda with me because normally the emails are on there and all the commissioners get to see them and can ask questions. So I don't know.
Commissioner Geary, if I could?
Yes, please.
So Commissioner Geary and the commission. So I think what we're talking about is an email that we received that was on last month's agenda.
Right.
It did not get included on this month's agenda, and it's fascinating that this has never come up before, but if there was correspondence that was received in a month that the meeting that the meeting was dark.
So what is it about?
Should we then agendize that for the next meeting? The commissioners received a copy of the email and all of the photos and videos that were sent, but it has not been placed on. It has not been spoken. It has not been placed on an agenda for a meeting that has happened.
So you're correct.
It was addressed. It's just because the commission meeting did not meet that month.
We didn't have forms.
So they're going to be readdressed.
And I think that's what.
Yes, that's what's needed, though.
That's what the director is right now is trying to.
Because we don't typically re-agendize items that were on an agenda from a meeting that didn't occur.
I
think it sounds like you're going to make a request to do that, which I think would be proper.
Yes.
So my suggestion would be
to have that email on the next month's agenda.
Right.
Well, if I could, probably all the emails that we received last month, I can place on next month's agenda.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
I just want to make a record. I don't think there is an intent on anyone's behalf to ignore what occurred last month. I think what I'm hearing is it was an oversight. The meeting didn't occur, therefore the emails weren't considered in an open session, but that's certainly something that we will do next month.
Can you come next month?
Yeah, I'll pass that along to everybody else.
Maybe the author of your speech could come right next month.
Yeah, she may show up here. She said she was on the road, but in case she did, I didn't want her to get in a car accident trying to get here. So at least I kind of got over my
thank you for your input and
my
you're
years,
right.
You know, you guys.
No.
Chair Geary's request to put it on.
No, she could just make a referral.
Okay. Good evening, Commission. My name is Kelly Couch. I'm here on behalf of Rusty Rose. The community is seeking updates. It has been 2 months since her death. Abandonment of Rusty Rose in such a state blatantly violates California's family level anti-cruelty 597 statutes. Swift legal action is urgently needed. Anything less risks encouraging further violence towards animals. We must thoroughly investigate this case, file family counts, and seek the harshest sentencing to send a strong message in Kern County. There also needs a more confidential way of reporting animal cruelty rather than a generic email. Because if you're a witness to animal cruelty, you want confidentiality. You want privacy to report these crimes for retaliation and other purposes. It is against the law to place an injured dog in a trash dumpster, and she was laying there for several hours, suffering, crying, weaker and weaker and weaker for 8 hours, hidden behind a locked gate. It wasn't like she was there for 30 minutes. She lay there for 8 hours behind a locked gate in a dumpster, whimpering and getting weaker and weaker by the moment. You cannot put a live dog in a trash can. I don't know what caused the injuries, but I do know that it is against the law to place a live dog in a dumpster, no matter if she was run over by a car or it was abuse. That's not a way to handle the cases, and we need to educate Kern County how to handle injured animals. You don't throw them in a dumpster behind a locked gate. Kern County needs strong animal protection services. We will not stop until there's an arrest for our rescuers. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you. It was horrific. Last table.
It's going to take me longer to walk up there than what I have to say.
It's all right. You're not hearing from you.
Joan Payton. Just an update on the trailer. It is next in line for branding, and then once it's branded, then they'll be calling Mr. Colin there and arranging to get it shipped. So hopefully it won't be long. I did have another question. I don't know if you guys can do this. That's kind of my question. Can you make referrals to the supervisors for something? Or kind of like send them a letter suggesting?
We can.
Because I suggested it for the supervisors, but maybe somebody else. Kern County needs to set up some kind of a reward system, if you want to call it, to bring new vets into this county. We're down 5 vets already that haven't been replaced. I know 3 more that are going to be leaving. And the median age of vets in this community, I'm guessing, are close to my age. So they're aging now, but what 30-year-old wants to come to Bakersfield? 115 degrees or whatever. You know, there's not a lot here. So supervisors need to come up with, like, if you stay here for X number of years, we pay back some of your student loan, you know, $10,000, whatever. But I thought maybe you guys could write a letter and bring that up to them, because in 5 more years, we're not going to have that.
I mean, that's a great idea, because right now in Bear Valley, where I live, we don't have any emergency vets available. There's a lot of livestock. So unfortunately, the police department has been instructed on how to dispatch livestock if they need to, and they already have.
Yeah, you can't. Sometimes you can't get into emergency vets here. Right. They'll tell you, my friend has been sent to L.A. because it wasn't life-threatening. Their dog was paralyzed from the neck down, and luckily she came out of it, but
I agree with you. It's getting bad.
We're kind of in the same boat in Ridgecrest because we already don't have an emergency vet, which we don't have an option for, because we have, at our hospital, we only have 2 veterinarians, one of which will be leaving either December or June, depending on when her husband gets restationed. Mm-hmm. So we'll move down to 1 veterinarian again. She was looking to retire in a few years, and so that leaves us with 4.
Yeah. It's getting bad.
Yes.
It's up to you guys, I'm going to write my supervisor, so whatever you guys choose to do.
I wanted to just confirm. We're talking about these are privately owned veterinary clinics.
Correct.
Yeah.
Not the VCAs or I don't know what that one is. There's
right.
Any corporate in Downfield. But no, it's private. Veterinarians that have been here for 40 years or more that have died, or one guy I know retired, he walked out of the vet clinic and let it say he couldn't sell it. So, no.
I mean, definitely, I think that informing the supervisors of the dire need can certainly be made, but in terms of incentivizing, I know that they just created this new county department, I forget the name of it, the business development office or something.
I think it's economic development, yeah.
Economic development, so a conversation with him would probably be the best person to reach out to, and informing the, like I said, of the dire need, but in terms of incentivizing through grants for private business, I think
it's been done all over the country now because it's not.
But it is because it's a private business.
Right, because it's a private business, it just becomes a little bit. Okay. But again, that there is that new department of economic development. I just met him at a conference too, and I'm thinking of his name. But yeah, that would be.
That's how they attract rural doctors. So you're just doing another community service like you would with a rural doctor.
Well, the VCA is taking over a lot of the privates. Which is not bad. I mean, I know when Tashby VCA went in, and now we're down to one bed, Dr. Komen, and he's got to be pushing 60 at least pretty hard.
But VCA is giving huge, huge incentives to these beds, too. And they're still not able to get them in. We've got huge incentives out there trying to get, because our hospital is VCA. And the problem is, even with the corporate, you know, we have a lot of, again, backing and a lot of money to play with and a lot of money to offer to these veterinarians, but they're still not coming, you know, unfortunately. And it's hard because, you know, in a few years, I may not even have a job because I'll be paying the upper. But, but, you know, that's the biggest issue. You know, again, she's looking at retiring. She's burned out. She's been there since, like, 96. So
it's a physically demanding job.
Yeah, it is. And it's a lot of hours. And on top of it, again, people are frustrated with us because we can't do emergencies. But she spends 12 hours in the office, another 4 or 5 hours after work, working on charts, and her entire weekends. You know, like, when you want her to work the emergencies, you know, it's just not doable. And even with a second doctor, it's still, you know, they both have those kind of hours, and it's a lot, so.
Yeah, kind of a unique thing. Some friends of mine, and he's also on the Bear Valley Association board, they have a big house, and they're reaching out to the colleges, to the universities, to the vet schools, and saying, you come here, you have a place to live. Mm. That's how desperate we are.
We are desperate.
Okay.
Well,
I have a second point to make about that. I just think that sometimes, I mean, and I'm not from here, but I have made Bakersfield my home. And I've been here 9.5 years. And I think something that we forget sometimes is, like, what about, you know, incentivizing our youth, right, to return? I think that that's something that, you know, Kern County has so much of this brain drain, and we forget that, you know, it's, so I think a second thing to think about is possibly, like, the way to incentivize is about, you know, giving scholarships to people with the commitment, right, rather to, like, maybe return or something like that, rather than recruiting out of people who, you know, after living here 9 months might not love it as much as I came to love.
Well, no, and that's part of the issue, too, because, like, where we're at, basically, the only employment out there is the military base or the, you know, chemical plant control. And other than that, if you have a spouse, where are they going to work? You know, and so that's why we have a hard time keeping them in there, because the ones we get usually are military. They're there for 3 years and then they're gone, you know? So it's like, yeah, if you started with the youth, if you started with the younger people, that don't have that establishment already and can maybe find somebody there, or, you know, they have more of a freedom to be able to go these places where, you know, they don't have to worry about a spouse having a job or things like that, so.
Okay, you just arrived because we're on that table.
Yes.
So, did you want to talk?
I was just going to say, what you guys were talking about was, like, I don't know if they already have it set up, but with the, what's it called, Siracusa and all of them, and the colleges, like, is there a reason why they don't have programs like that?
So, Siracusa is a small community college.
Yeah.
The veterinarians go to school basically like a doctor. It's a lot of years of schooling, and they don't offer that. And see, that's part of the issue even where we're at. We're in Ridgecrest, and so we have Siracusa there, but they can't even get started on much of anything there.
Not
they can do some
like
of the general ed stuff, but they don't have any kind of veterinary programs. They don't have any of that they offer. And so you have to go away. Like our veterinarian, she started out at our place as a receptionist, actually.
Oh, wow.
And she ended up going away to UC Davis. But that's the thing, too, is you have that ability to be able to go away and do the schooling. And that's the hard part, too, is once they go away and do the schooling, a lot of times they don't want to come back.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So it makes it tough.
And then also with the, you had mentioned with the time thing, is any of the vets, like, utilize, like, I think it's called vet scribble?
So they, like, vet scribe, yeah, they
vet scribe,
they do somewhat, they have, so they have scribes that actually work for our company that do some of it, but it, it only helps to a degree, and some of the doctors are particular about making sure that their notes are their notes.
That's the best thing about it.
Yeah, they're not, you know, mistranscribed or things like that. And the end up, what happens with that is even though they're done by somebody else, they still have to go back and go through all of it and make sure it's correct.
Yeah.
So it just, it helps a little bit, but for our doctor in particular, it's easier for her to just do it in the first place than it is to have to go through after somebody else does.
I understand.
So it's tough too when they're, because she's been there so long and she's so good at what she does. She's also our medical director, which doesn't help because she's also tied up with the rest of that. But she's very particular about, you know, she's good at getting that stuff done. It's just sometimes some of the cases are just so lengthy and so much going on that it takes a while.
Okay, we're going to move on to the third table. Come on up. And do your reading.
Never walk up this way. Hey, Michelle, 933 alumni. I'm going to piggyback off your guys' Rusty Rose talk because it does give me some curiosity. I remember when it first happened and I was talking to Nick and it was all unfolding that day and you know, county did post about it and then request any information about it. And then when there was security footage about it, and then I know that it went to the sheriff's department. So when the public is upset, no, it didn't? Oh.
They wouldn't take it.
Oh, they didn't take it? That's brand new information.
They don't do it. They don't like to do animals.
So, things. Oh, so that's who we get mad at?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's what we get mad at. Yeah. So that's all. I wanted to know, like, who is the public? Because I know that there are things, I might feel entitled to know information as it's happening. I know it's not good for me to know. Who am I? I don't want to ruin anything. And we just sit there and wait and twiddle our fingers until more information comes. And when does the information come? Do we just, like, wait for it to go by? So we can, like, being mad, upset at the sheriffs and holding them accountable, like, is that a reasonable thing?
Well, it's
or will they just be like?
It's on Nick's. I know that
this should,
Nick
it
had
should,
handed
it
back.
It shouldn't fall. I'm sorry, I'm speaking out of turn. It shouldn't fall all on animal control. They're investigators.
Right.
They're trained to do that. It should.
Right.
They shouldn't just say, "Oh, well, that's animal control. It's a dog." It's
Madam Chair,
control.
I don't think we should be doing this back and forth.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. So is it a reasonable thing to go to the sheriffs and be like, why don't you investigate this? Or is this the end of the road for our great community? Anyone?
That, I don't know, and I...
I'm happy to address it when I get to the podium.
All right,
okay.
So you know where I'm going with this kind of mumbled talk
yes.
of mine.
Okay. No,
so just interested in finding out.
Right,
okay,
where people can direct their
anger.
Not at Nick. Not at Nick.
Okay. Third table, anybody? Were you done? Gang? No? Okay. Okay. We're moving on to staff announcements and reports. Nick, you can now come to the podium.
Feel free to move
it.
Okay,
we're going to start
in.
Fancy.
It's got
pretty
this
month. I'll just kind of do it all in one.
Okay.
What's your name?
Okay.
Good evening, Nick Collins, the director of Kern County Offices. So, just to address a few things right off the bat. If you're asking who to be mad at, like, I can't answer that question for you. I'm not law enforcement. We're not law enforcement, we're rabies control agents. Do we have arrest powers? Limited. Do we have investigative experience? Small, minor, but yes. But I can't speak to what law enforcement is doing. I'm not a law enforcement officer, I'm not an employee of the sheriff's department. I can't speak for them. I don't know what they're doing, I don't know what they have done. I can tell you that our agency has been doing this for a long time, handling animal welfare in Kern County. And so we're familiar with what kind of cases law enforcement and the district attorney's office takes and which cases they don't. And so We're the agency that got called out to impound Rose. We're the agency that went out and got Rose. We're the agency that did an exam on Rose. We're the agency that gave Rose her name. We're invested in it. Yes, we're investigating. And I hope some of you have watched Law and Order. Releasing information about every step of an investigation and sharing that information with everybody who's interested is cancerous to an investigation, cancerous to any chance or potential at holding somebody accountable. And in fact, I would argue that the information that's already publicly available has already done damage to any potential to hold somebody accountable. So if it's been quiet, there's a reason for that. If you're asking me if Animal Services is doing something about it, yes. That's the only answer that I'll give you. It has not been forgotten. It may be quiet, and you may not have seen anything come out, and we may have taken down information that we had on our website. There's a reason for that. I can't guarantee that an arrest will be made. I can tell you that progress has been made. And you will not see anything come out of Animal Services until or unless something materializes, like a warrant is issued for someone's arrest, or an arrest is made, or we need the public assistance identify or locating something. That's about it. So if you don't hear anything, it's not because we forgot. It's because there either wasn't enough material to hold somebody accountable, or something's coming, okay? That's about all I can say. Confidentiality is tough. Yes, you can make a complaint and ask to be kept confidential who it is, but at the end of the day, for the most part, people have a right to know who they were accused by, especially if you're gonna pursue an investigation to the point that somebody has issued a criminal citation. And so when we have people that call us for things as minor as barking calls, we can't guarantee anonymity, and we tell folks that. Can I guarantee your anonymity? To a point. But if it gets to the point where I'm writing a criminal citation, there's a disclosure process that happens that some of that information can't be held anonymous. So we can't always guarantee that. For our purposes, I don't know that I would be mad at law enforcement. They have assisted us. You know, we've had communications with law enforcement, and some of that's been productive. But we've made progress, and the progress that has come about, I will tell you, has been more of a result of you than it has any agency. Just leave it at that. Okay?
A little bit more?
No. Let's talk about the director's report. I can talk about May if we want. That was a long time ago, boy, that was 2 months ago. We did adopt out 410 animals in May. It's been slow going for adoptions for the most part this year. Certainly not keeping pace with the amount of animals that are coming to us. We're still on pace to take in about 10,000 dogs this year, which is extraordinary. Just to backtrack a bit, the whole conversation about the veterinarian thing, it's interesting you brought that up because I made a presentation to the board last month, and a short portion of my presentation was on the lack of access to care in Bakersfield and Kern County. And it's not the only county that struggles with that. There's a lot of counties all in that state. Not coincidentally, they're mostly poor counties and not coastal. I talked about the cost to obtain veterinary care, even when it can be obtained, is out of reach for the most pet owners. And so I think, bringing veterinarians here is one part of the equation, but to be able to afford veterinary care even when they are here is a whole other layer. I mean, we face a lot of problems in California. I think I don't remember the statistic, but nationwide, California and Texas account for about 60% of all the euthanized animals in animal shelters nationwide. And the population numbers aren't equal. And so, you know, the lack of access to care and the amount of poverty that is faced in California, it just is driving abandonment, it's driving neglect, it's driving cruelty. If you have a moment, you know, I wish I could remember the date of the board meeting that I made that presentation, but you can go on the website and watch it because I talked about
June 7th,
very good, at the AM board meeting.
17th?
That's yes. Online, June 17th.
Yeah, it's a Tuesday.
But there is, we are experiencing, Animal Services is experiencing a spike in all of the bad numbers, all of the things you don't want to see a spike in. The amount of loose animals, the amount of impounded animals, the amount of deceased animals we're picking up, the amount of abandoned animals that we're picking up. And, you know, it's not hard to see that the reason, the driving factor for that is the lack of access to care. We can criticize somebody who abandons a dog all we want, and we can demonize them deservedly so. But to try to look a little bit deeper and find out, well, how did the system fail that animal and that pet owner? And how can we fix that? Like, there's a systemic problem. Granted, you know, the type of scruples or lack of that somebody would have to abandon any animal, let alone an injured animal, is beyond what I can imagine. But to try to, like, figure out where the flaw in the system is that an individual didn't even think about obtaining veterinary care, who knows, maybe they did. But even if they did obtain veterinary care, how would they afford it? And once they can't afford it, then what happens? What happens to that animal? I mean, Rose was on my mind for, you know, it's all I can think about for the first 30 days. But now what I think about is how many animals don't end up in the dumpster that we don't know about that can't be provided veterinary care. And make no mistake, like, that abandoned pets and pets that are not providing adequate veterinary care is a symptom of a much larger problem that I don't think, you know, I don't think we're capable, Animal Services at least, is not capable of solving. You know, sometimes it just baffles my mind that, like, there's so many brilliant animal welfare organizations in California. Like, some organizations are doing some brilliant things. Pet Space and Wallace Annenberg and Best Friends to some extent, Maddie's Fund, and the ASPCA. If there's so many of these organizations and they're so wealthy, where are they? How come they're not in the areas that are incredibly impoverished and that are experiencing this spike in abandonment and neglect? It's frustrating. Sometimes as an organization that, you know, we're a rabies control agency, but sometimes, I'll be honest with you, it feels like there's nobody else doing anything about it. So, in May, I did want to talk about spay here. You know, the county had committed over $1 million in spay neuter funding in the fiscal year 24-25. The fiscal year just wrapped up. The fiscal year ended June 30th. And we spent over $1.1 million in spay neuter. We provided for the sterilization of about 9,000 pets in our community. Actually, it's close to 9,300 because we partnered with the Regional Occupation Center and they fixed about 450 animals. So we had a goal of fixing 9,800 animals last fiscal year. We came close, didn't do it. But the good news is, and I'll touch on that in the June director's report, is that nothing changes, which is a big if. The county budget will be passed in August. And there's another $1 million in spay neuter funding that will be appropriated. So, I can't guarantee what the fiscal year after that will have. But for next fiscal year, this current fiscal year, we'll have another $1 million to support our subsidized spay neuter program so we can continue
potentially begin to reduce the volume of animals that are in our community, and then as a result, reduce the amount of abandonment and collection of cruelty cases. Any questions about Maine, the May Virginia report?
No.
Moving to June. So June, I did want to, there's a couple of things that I wanted to point out which I thought were interesting. The first page, program highlights, June 2025. The first line is, first section is for adoption. So 149 dogs, 109 puppies, 23 cats, and 278 kittens were adopted for a total of 559 animals. That's a lot. And the reason why that's so high, if you look, 278 kittens and 22 cats, we adopted over 300 cats in the month of June. That's 10 per day. No. Yeah, yeah. 10 a day, which is extraordinary for us. And so, yeah, we're not open to anything. I just wanted to point out that the reason for that is because we went out and obtained a grant from the PetSmart people, PetSmart charities, and then we already have the support of local Petco locations, with retail locations, 3 PetSmart stores, 2 Petco locations. And what we've been able to do is use some of that grant funding to hire a full-time staff member. She's extra help, which is not permanent. But all she does is make sure that the habitats in those stores are full. And so it created this sort of assembly line of kittens coming to us and then going right into the retail stores, and they get adopted fast. And so my hope is that if we continue the work that we've been doing with the retail establishments, that we'll see those types of numbers throughout the summer, which will really be helpful to our bottom line and the amount of animals we get out of the shelter, the cats get out of the shelter alive. Just figure out how to do something like that with dogs. And then spay and neuter. So, like I said, this is the director report for June, and our fiscal year ended the June 30th. So usually about mid June, we stop doing spay and neuter clinics just because we just don't know if we're going to have funding for the next year. But we still did a number of spay and neuter clinics. Some of them in collaboration with SOS Dog Rescue, where we provided for the sterilization of 424 owned pets in the month of June. Like I said, on the page numbers, but on that page behind the spay and neuter numbers is the advertisement for the ROC, Regional Occupation Center, the PETS program, which was funded by us. The surgeries were completed by the Regional Occupation Center. That was, in my opinion, a very successful program. We had endeavored to use the county spay and neuter funding to run a request for proposals. And the ROC program submitted a proposal. They were granted the funding to accomplish 800 surgeries. They have not completed it yet, but they still have a whole other semester. But they provided for the spay and neuter 450 animals just in a couple months, and that's mostly students. So I think that's a wonderful program, and I've had a good conversation with Dr. Metzler, through email, and their staff. Is there something that can be built on that? Like, is there some way to expand that program where they're not just accepting spay and neuter clients, that they're maybe offering some other level of service, like basic veterinary care? And I think there's something to be somehow built on there that might produce more RVTs or vet assistants in our community. You know, it's not anything that can produce doctors of veterinary medicine, but you know, if you kind of pay attention to what's happening at the state level, you know, there's a trade organization who, I think it's a trade organization, but they manage the veterinary practice. It's called the California Veterinary Medical Association, and they have acknowledged that the lack of DVMs is a problem. Now, how they go about addressing that, I don't know that they've come up with too many solutions, but one of the things that they're attempting to do is to increase the amount of tasks that a registered veterinary technician can do so that the DVM is less vital in the ability to provide care, especially emergency care.
And I don't know about like California in particular, but Colorado is actually looking at making a middle position that is basically like a physician's assistant.
Mid-level practitioner.
Yeah, and we go over that so that it's, it's more made up of the classes.
So I mean, it's a tough place to be in right now, but I am hopeful that there is some movement at the state level and that there is some investment in the belief that there needs to be expanded access to care. And like, the only way to do that is to increase the veterinary professionals that are available. I don't know if it's going to happen in my time in animal services, but I think it's headed in a new direction. Our vaccination clinics were pretty successful in June. We provided 450 rabies vaccinations, 376 parvo distemper vaccines, 210 feline vaccinations. The parvo distemper vaccines and the feline vaccines are free. We offer them to any resident, county or city, doesn't matter. The microchips at our clinics are free for county residents, $10 cost for $10 cost for incorporated residents. If you know somebody that needs to get the pet vaccinated, send them to one of our clinics and they can obtain that vaccination. And we do about 27 clinics a year. I know there's some other agencies, City of Bakersfield does clinics, but they do about half to a third of what we do. Just send them to us. We'll conclude my comments on the record. Thank you for any questions.
Jamie? I don't have any questions.
But I do want to mention, like I said, I commend you guys for at least, even having the discussions to try to figure out, how we can possibly solve the problems, because it's like I said, it's everywhere, it's not just here, but.
It's interesting too, there was a conversation during that June 17th board meeting about an incentive program that could invite veterinarians into Kern County, even in a private practice type of way, because the county did that with the coroners and the coroner's assistant. Granted, they were county positions, but incentivizing people to move here, I can't think of any other way to entice somebody to come to 110 degree weather for 2 months out of the year.
Well, like I said, for us, you guys at least are a bigger area, there's more options, but for us, the job thing is a big thing, what do you do if you have a spouse and they have their job, you can't. Mm-hmm. And so, because they had been talking about, the possibility of basically telling these new graduates, okay, here, you're forced to go here for 3 years or whatever. But again, what do you do if they have a family?
Yeah.
They have a spouse or,
How are the streets of Bakersfield going with this weather? Are they still walking it up?
Yeah, we're still. Our veterinarian, Dr. King, she's funny. She has this, diagram that she'll draw for you where it's risk versus reward, and the benefit for getting an animal out of the shelter is so great, and the risk for the animals is it's there, but it's less, and so, we would normally in years past, we kind of adjusted the program, we started it earlier, or we would cancel it, but we haven't done that. We had one dog last year that was heat exhausted, and we kind of changed the program after that, and we haven't had that problem since. But we do offer the ability to pick up the dogs earlier instead of later in the morning. But we're still doing it, and since I'm taking the dog on the news tomorrow that was out on the streets of Bakersfield just last week, and it's one of the ways I choose the dogs. Went out on the streets of Bakersfield, that's fine. I'm thinking about getting
some. You didn't talk about the dog that became a star.
The one from SOS Dog Rescue?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about it. I know that it was
on a TV show.
Two of them.
No, I know. There was a dog that was rescued from
a county
shelter,
dog.
And it's on a TV show. I don't know the TV show.
I don't either. I just saw a blurb on it and a picture of it. Is it pity even black and white?
But that's your dog.
But I personally would give the credit to the rescue people. Like, they saved the dog and they researched it into that dog. It's great that it's on a television show. But at the end of the day, Robbie and SOS deserve all the credit.
They're great. But originate with you. Okay, any questions for Nick?
I don't remember how many, two or three months ago, you reported about you guys have started going back in the beds and picking up rabies forms, and that you've got 21,000 new licensing. Get reported about it since. Is that still going well?
Not the way I would like. So I think what Joan is talking about is there's a local law that requires veterinarians who administer rabies vaccination to send the rabies certificate into the local animal rabies control agency, which is us. And we weren't enforcing it, and it had been so long since we enforced it pre-pandemic that most veterinarians didn't even know that they were supposed to do that. And so we kind of went around knocking on doors and we're like, hey, we need you to do this. And we didn't see an impact immediately, but it's since trailed off. It's something that we'll continue to do because we just don't know how much of that licensing is a result of mailers and phone calls to people that got to raise vaccinations. It's just tough to tell. But we will finish last fiscal year taking in more licensing revenue than we had quite some time. But that's tough to gauge whether that's because of that or is it just the further we get away from the pandemic, the more people are licensing their animals. It's tough to tell.
I hope 21,000 is 21,000 you didn't have before.
This is true.
Your presentation was extraordinary. That was one of the most fair and balanced presentations that I've seen. It laid out the entire issue, but it also, with the veterinary costs, it really showed some of the issues that you're facing. I mean, if people want, you know, if it's $800 to spay and neuter a dog, the average cost, and people won't take advantage of the free spay and neuter, it shows you that how much education is really needed in the community. So I just really appreciated how balanced it was and really laid out that it is a complex situation. It's not as easy as just spay and neuter because you're going to extraordinary lengths there to do that, and people still don't see the value in it.
Thank you.
What was a good
presentation?
I don't know if I could add on that in this much, but because I'm from California too, and I know that's not your jurisdiction or anything, but you know, everywhere in the county, obviously, you know, the problem is way overall. You know, I've seen dogs travel from this town to this town to this town. And I'm just kind of curious on that, if there's anything to work together on that with like our shelter and you know, the county or something, you know, work something out, like to be able to address those lower eastern county areas better.
I don't really understand how what you mean by help out. Cal City is an incorporated city, like you said. We're an unincorporated agency. We have assisted Cal City before with spay and neuter clinics. One in last fiscal year, two in the last fiscal year. But outside of, you know, it's supporting for spay and neuter in their community. I mean, I don't know if there's much that we can do to help out. They have their own field enforcement and their own shelter employee. You know, beyond that, I don't know what we could be doing for Cal City.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm open to suggestions.
Yeah, definitely.
What about Jen over there?
Yep.
Sure.
Go ahead. Can I bounce off the sheriff's department and law and county thing again, right, since you talked about it at the beginning? Is that something I can do? Okay. I think it's reasonable to expect that our county sheriffs investigate things like that. I mean, in my opinion, I don't know what they investigate. Is it arbitrary what they choose to investigate or not? Like, do you know when they say, yeah, we'll investigate that animal situation, or no, we're not going to do anything with that one?
Again, Michelle, you're asking. I don't know.
I didn't know if that's something you knew.
I don't.
That's why I'm asking.
Okay.
Who?
I can't even tell you if it was reported to the sheriff's department. I don't know. I don't have any idea.
So I'm going to have to learn how to be with the sheriff's department. I'm just going to have to start in the sheriff's department. Like, call and now they're going to start there, right?
Non-emergency.
Like, I have questions.
So they'll transfer you to animal control.
I bet you're right. I'm gonna try.
Would you welcome
that? Law enforcement, of course, absolutely. And like I said earlier, we have reached out to the sheriff's department, or law enforcement, but the sheriff's department, and they have assisted us in the Rose investigation. Yes.
Okay. Any other questions in the back room? For about the report, the next report,
so you know,
this report was staying in
the whole thing you do.
What he just reported on. I wasn't in here.
You know,
okay. I was looking for you. So no questions. Okay.
I
was just going to see those
reports.
So we have a motion to receive the file.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Commissioners' announcements or reports. On their own initiative, commissioners may make an announcement or a report on their own activities. They may ask questions for clarification, make referrals to staff, or take action to have staff place the matter of business on a future agenda.
Sure. I've been busy, as always. I've had two critters appointments where I've taken 32 cats on July 7th to be fixed, and in June I only had 28. I think I'm a little short. I did want to mention that there's these really nice people, Wynn and Charlie, living in Indio Grove. Do you know them? Oh my God. So crazy cat people just come out of the woodwork and go, hey! And so these people are so nice, and they have single-handedly, with my help, being dubbed the Super Trapper at Critters and given these bulk appointments, they have decided that they're going to take Ridgecrest and Inyokern under their belt, and they are bringing me 4 to 8 cats every time I have an appointment at Critters. They are driving on their own. They're paying their own gas. I usually try to get a small donation from people when I fix their, when I collect these feral cats. I get maybe $25 or something to pay for gas, because it takes me 3 vehicles to get 32 cats to Critters from Tehachapi, of course. So I try to reimburse the people for gas, but not always. Sometimes it's just, it's just a bonus. I just do it because I care. And these people in Ridgecrest, Wynn and Charlie, have just, they're collecting cats. They bring them to me. I don't ask for any money from them. I say any money that you get, you keep it, because you guys are the ones that have to drive 2 hours, 2 days, 2 hours there and back on Thursday to drop them off, another 2 hours on Friday to come back and pick them all up and take them back. And they are really doing Ridgecrest a service. I know you guys are so extremely limited out there. And these people are gangbusters. They're a little on the nutty side, but it's okay. In a good way. So they're really helping out some of the communities. I don't have anybody like that in California City. I don't have anybody like that in Boron. But if there is anybody that would like to help, I am willing to share my appointments. A cat is a cat. It needs to be fixed. I don't care where it comes from. And I will help in any way that I can through the Critters. I also am still taking cats up to Selma for my vet up there. I have an appointment next Thursday to take 25. And a month ago, I took 25 up there. It's not free, but it's cheap. So again, if somebody needs a cat to get fixed, they can email me. I will make sure that it happens, whether they have the money or not. It's about getting the cats fixed so they're not producing. Those poor little kittens that Deanna brought. Somebody brought Deanna these little kittens today. These kittens were 3.5 weeks old, and their back legs are completely deformed. because they have been inbred so many times. And this is the saddest thing. Here's a sweet little innocent kitten that will never be able to walk. I don't know if it's going to be euthanized. I think they were going to foster, and people love these sad little cases with these backward leg kittens. But you know, we can prevent this, and it's going to take a community to do it. But you know, we can do it a little bit at a time. So you know, my email is open. If anybody needs help, I'm willing to help in any way I can.
I don't have much other than working and raising birds. Other than that,
it's no chicken stories.
That's right, she's raising birds. Okay, I just want to kind of take back my statement.
Thank you.
About law enforcement. My husband's in law enforcement, and Nick explained it pretty dang clearly that it usually rolls back to animal control.
Yeah.
And on occasion, sheriffs do get involved, but I can't tell you what your team needs, tell you when and what they will get involved in. So don't be mad at them. Just
no, not like walking down the street being mad, but I think that the expectation is there. Like that your law enforcement investigates potential animal cruelty stuff, and that it shouldn't, you know, just be on the hands of a shelter.
Yeah.
What is a rabies? What is your title?
Director of Animal Services.
No, not your title.
Rabies control.
Rabies control.
That's why animal control started. For rabies control. Yeah. That's way back then.
You think animal control, looking at stray dogs, handling the license, handling, you know, overcrowding animals, and trying to get more consumers adopted and dealing with rescues, that sort of thing. You really don't look at them as invested, training as invested.
You know, I don't want to give the wrong impression. Animal control officers have issued, animal control officers have submitted cases that have been prosecuted.
Right.
For a misdemeanor or a felony 48 times in the past 12 months. So, yes, we do investigations. Yes, we do write misdemeanor and felony citations and cases. It happens. But we also have 11 animal control officers to patrol 8,200 square miles and also at the same time pick up all stray animals. So we do what we can. But I don't want to give the impression that we do not pursue criminal investigations, that we do not put together cases, because we do.
And then, sorry, just to add the lawyer part of it too. Like, one thing is the investigation, and then the second is the prosecution, right? So whether law enforcement, you know, so again, so it goes back to like, are we going to be mad? It might not even be to the point that the DAs might decide, you know what, there's not sufficient evidence to even try someone, right? And so at that point, yeah, the sheriff did their investigation. They sent it to whoever is responsible for the
fighting,
determining whether there's enough evidence or not. And then the prosecutor's office, the district attorney, is who ultimately decides, you know what, you know, a jury will or will, we would likely not find enough. And we can't convince, you know, the judge to pick up, right? It's like I said, that's just
very frustrating.
Second level, right, that we're not even considering. So yes, there might be like ongoing investigation that the public has no knowledge of, right? And then the investigation might close simply because there's just not enough and prosecution can't do that.
Well, I think it's the community's perception that the DA does not contact crimes doing
the question is there enough evidence? Is there enough evidence, right? Just because there was a wrong done does not mean that there is enough evidence to show who, right, did
so
the wrong.
So if there, let me ask you this, if there is enough evidence, they will pursue it.
Madam Chair, I don't think that we should be doing this. This, we're in announcements. So we've got to move this along.
Okay, so we're going back to old business, which we don't have any. New business. We don't have any. Therefore, we are out of adjournment.
Thank you.
I had a quick question. Okay. Nick, you were going to kind of revisit the whole dog ordinance thing of the board meeting. Do that just to kind of keep it fresh.
I wasn't going to revisit it. I think it was brought up, a public comment was made about it, and when it was brought up, I had some hope that maybe it would spur a conversation, and that conversation did not happen. But that's not the end of it.
Okay.
Just want to keep it alive.
Yeah, is it too late to put it on the agenda for next month? Not that you're going to have anything, but at least it's not going to die.
To put what on the agenda?
Any progress going on with the supervisors on the new ordinance, the revised ordinance?
I would put anything on the agenda that you asked. I would also say that if anything progressed, I would speak about it.
Okay. Okay. Make a motion for adjournment.
Sure. Make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And our next meeting is Wednesday, August 20th.